Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire podcast presented to you by USA Today SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your hosts, and happy to be with you tonight or today, whatever time of the day you are listening. Buffalo getting the win in Carolina 27-14, moving to 2-0 on the preseason. Today I am joined, as pretty much always, by Jeremy, and we are joined by a special guest. Welcome back to the podcast, Brad Galbert. Brad, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always good to connect with fellow Bills Wires contributors here.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today. Plenty to talk about. A pretty good showing for Buffalo. Brad, I'll start off with you. Your first, your overall, opinion on how the game went today.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to take away a lot from preseason games in that, over the course of the game, obviously the starters are only in there for a limited amount of time. And then, even at that point, Carolina didn't play Cam Newton. They didn't play Luke Kuechly. So some of their key players are out. So, can you take much away from the final score? Maybe not. But I think, in terms of individual matchups and certain things that you kind of wanted to keep your eye on throughout the game, I think those are really more where you might see kind of an impactful storyline. I thought, just obviously the guy everyone's watching is Josh Allen, right? So I think that's he had a solid game tonight. I liked what I saw from him. I thought, there was times where the offensive line broke down a bit and he felt the pressure and wasn't able to escape the pocket, which, last year we saw when Josh felt pressure, he was kind of able to evade a lot of that pressure. So tonight, though, at times the offensive line looked to struggle a bit, but you have to remember at the same time, Mitch Morris isn't in there. Ty Nasecki wasn't able to go tonight. So they're still trying to feel things out, I think, on the offensive line overall. I know Sean McDermott this week said he was hoping the Bills would, have the offensive line figured out going into week three versus Detroit. So, hopefully by next week they kind of have that cemented. But, I think overall Josh looked good and he continues to really be on the money and he's utilizing, I'm sure a guy we'll talk about tonight, and Cole Beasley. There was a reason they brought Cole Beasley in and they wanted to kind of give Josh that safety blanket. And I think tonight he showed that they're developing that chemistry, which is really important to the success of this Bills offense. So, I think overall, I liked what I saw from the offense. Thought the defense played very well as well. Again, they weren't going up against Cam Newton. So second week in a row, they're going up against the backup quarterback. So I guess next week versus Matt Stafford is really their last chance to face the starting quarterback in the preseason because they're not going to face one the fourth week either. So, maybe we'll see more of a test there. But Trent Murphy was a guy that just off the top of my head stood out to me tonight. He had that nice sack on that spin move there. So if they can get production from that other defensive end spot, in addition to a guy like Ed Oliver, who continues to flash, and we know what Jerry Hughes is going to bring, and Star Latulele solid and secondary solid. So, there's a lot to talk about there, but I just think that the defense played well in addition to the offense. So overall, definitely, a strong showing for the Bills in their second preseason game.
I 100% agree with you. I was very impressed with the first few quarters of play. Jeremy, I wanted to kind of get your take as well on it, your overall thoughts on this preseason game against Carolina.
Well, I think with any preseason game, you really want to avoid the injuries, right? And, other than Cam Lewis, I think going out with a concussion, I know Garrett McGinley had a right ankle injury and he was carted off. But, you really try to avoid your star players, obviously, and your first team and second team units for depth, try to avoid that, the injuries. I think they did that. I think Brad pretty much gave a pretty good overview of kind of what went right. As far as Allen going 9-for-11, he looked really sharp. I liked how Tommy Sweeney looked. And, they didn't really have outside receiver. John Brown didn't start, so didn't have a full complement either to throw to, and I thought he looked really sharp, and it's got to be an encouraging sign for the coaching staff. Guy that I was looking at too was Tyree Jackson, and he really struggled tonight in the second half. Definitely looks like he is probably headed toward the practice squad, and I'm not sure if he'll even make it there. So he had a pretty rough night. Definitely looks just outmatched at this point in the pocket, you know, threw in double coverage. They showed a clip on the sideline of Brian Daboll really getting into him. So, you know, just a player you root for as a local Buffalo product, college product, but he didn't show really much improvement and probably regressed a lot from last week. So not sure where his standing will be with the team. Christian Wade had another nice flash, you know, pass catch, and then avoided a tackler, and then three guys try to converge on him, and somehow he escaped and took it all the way down to the 2-3 yard line. So that was a that was really nice to see. But yeah, I guess the biggest takeaway for me is you just don't want any of your main guys hurt. And they got out of Carolina through a tough week down in South Carolina practicing with those guys, and through the game tonight without anything major going on. And yeah, now we head to Detroit to see, you know, the offense, you know, see if they can continue that momentum, you know, leading to two scoring drives, and want to continue to see Josh Allen do this for a little bit longer. And he'll get that opportunity next week. But the Bills and the coaching staff have to be encouraged with what they saw. And as Brad said too, the defense looks solid. I mean, they really don't have a weak spot right now. Trent Murphy was a guy, and I think a lot of people were hoping he could, you know, provide that pass rush. That spin move was pretty nice. So, you know, I think overall you have to be pretty pleased. I don't know how you can walk away from this game and not be impressed with certain individuals and not be just thankful again that they didn't get too banged up.
Yeah, 100% agree. I was very thrilled. The offense looked a lot better than they did, you know, last week against Indianapolis. As far as the starters went, Josh Allen was playing like a top level quarterback, I must say, despite some busted O line coverage, you know, protection, I should say. But I think what impressed me most was how quick his release was tonight. He was making very good reads, very good, you know, smart plays, which is what we've been wanting to see out of Josh Allen all this time. And I think, yeah, I'm very impressed. I'm very happy with how his connection with Tommy Sweeney has been. I think that's been one of the, you know, the bright spots. We didn't really know what to make of Tommy Sweeney when he, you know, we drafted him. How was he going to fit in with Dawson Knox and Tyler Croft and Kroom and so many others? But Sweeney has definitely made he's definitely taken quite the workload, and he's doing a very good job of it, handling the first team offense. You know, he did hook, you know, great connection with some of the wide receivers. Brad, most you were talking about Cole Beasley. Made a couple good connections with him. You want to, you know, kind of go into depth on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, with Cole, I think something, and, you know, to hit on what you talked about too, I think the fact that just his release has been a lot faster. He's been kind of more instinctual. He's been actually trusting himself. I think now that he knows the offense a lot better, being in his second season now. And, you know, Cole Beasley commented this week in practice how Josh is almost getting the ball there too fast, which, you know, that is a huge compliment coming from a guy like Cole Beasley, just because he's always creating separation. So to have a quarterback that's young, who's getting the ball out there, being decisive, you know, delivering it where it needs to be, you know, that's all you need to do. They don't need Josh Allen at this point in his career to necessarily go out there and, you know, win games by himself. That's why they brought in this help for him on the offensive side of the ball. That's why, you know, they have a full stable of running backs to utilize. They have, you know, they did have more tight ends. Obviously, they're a little narrow in that area right now because of the injuries. But, you know, once they start getting guys back, you know, Jason Kroom came back this week to practice. Dawson Knox looks close from coming back from his hamstring. Tyler Cross, really the only one that seems like he's going to be out for quite a bit of time still with that foot injury. So, you know, Tommy Sweeney, as you said, has been a really big surprise. I mean, maybe not so much a surprise to people that watched him at Boston College, because there seemed to be a lot of confidence, almost so much so that people were saying he would be more NFL ready than Dawson Knox was, because maybe Knox's ceiling's higher, but Sweeney just was more of a ready prospect for the NFL level. So, you know, he's certainly showing it. He had a tough game in the first week, and this week he had a tough couple practices in Carolina with some drops. But, you know, tonight he took full advantage of his opportunity with the first team offense. And I think that's going to help Josh Allen just as much as a guy like Cole Beasley is going to help him. I think having tight ends that can catch the ball and make plays are going to help him. And that's going to open up the offense for a guy like John Brown or Robert Foster, to take the top off there. So, I think, and we haven't really even mentioned Devin Singletary this week, who maybe didn't show quite as strong as he did in the first week. But again, that's another rookie that's going to be a playmaker for him, in addition to obviously LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore. So, yeah, I think that just the whole offense, you know, as a whole for Josh Allen is probably everything's going to slow down a little bit. And the more playmakers he has, it's just going to continue, I think, to help his development. And if he's decisive as he has been like tonight, that's really what they need from him. And I'm sure, you know, Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll will be overall happy with his performance.
Oh, they most certainly should be. I mean, Josh Allen went 9 for 11, 102 yards this evening, which, you know, that's not too shabby at all, especially with this past offseason. We wanted to see Josh kind of grow and become a little bit smarter of a passer. And you know, that's only two incompletions. That's not too shabby at all. So very happy for him. Yeah, Sweeney excelled too. Two catches for 47 yards. No drops on his end. Beasley, five catches, 44 yards. And just, yeah, it's Singletary, you know, developing very nicely as well. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on Devin Singletary's, you know, kind of progress within the, you know, within the offense?
Yeah, I think tonight, you know, just from the running back situation in general, it was nice to see LeSean McCoy get some touches. He looked, like he always does, you know, pretty slippery and elusive, which was nice to see because he didn't start, you know, against the Colts. They had Frank Gore take most of those reps. Singletary, like Brad said, I think last week showed a lot more in the touches and in the opportunities he got. But I just want to get back to Allen a little bit. Yeah, the two real incompletions that he had, one he threw away on purpose and the other was a drop by McCoy. So, you know, really other than that, he was perfect. And I liked the connections to Sweeney in particular. Obviously, the touch pass shows that he just doesn't have a cannon for an arm and won't, you know, always try to gun one in there. And then the one up the seam was really nice as well. It was just quick, as we've all said here tonight, decisive. And, other than those two incompletions, which were, as I said, a drop and purposely thrown away, you can't ask for much more than that. But I just think the offense in general tonight, you didn't get a full off, you know, the full strength offensive line or the receiving group. So you have to be really encouraged going forward, right? I mean, you don't have Mitch Moore starting at center yet. As I mentioned before, you didn't have John Brown in there. So some of the weapons and, you know, so some of the guys that they'll be rotating in the regular season, it's very encouraging. I think the offense is definitely a lot further along this point this year than they were last year, obviously. Last year we were still, you know, in a kind of a quarterback competition with Nate Peterman and Josh Allen. So it's just so nice this year not to really have any of that be the case and know what's going on. Also, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but it is really reassuring to have Matt Barkley perform as well as he has. I think he's come in and just been a great backup and has shown, you know, his worth, and probably also makes the coaching staff pretty confident that they can, you know, let Tyree let him go and maybe bring him back in the practice squad or not, knowing that they have a really good backup and a guy who can also move the ball. One guy we didn't talk about was Duke Williams with a nice touchdown catch, and that's exactly how I envision him if he were to stick with the Bills as a big red zone target. So that example tonight was exactly what I expected from Duke. It'll be interesting to see next week if he is elevated a little bit more to, maybe play with the twos or the, even get a shot with the ones to really prove himself. But that was definitely a play and a nice throw from Barkley there that I just wanted to point out.
Yeah, I think, you know, to Jeremy's point there, I think Matt Barkley is kind of the perfect backup quarterback for the Bills, what they need right now. You know, some teams are looking for their backup quarterback to really push the starter in terms of challenging them for that job. And that's not at all what the Bills are looking for. Josh Allen's the guy. He's going to be the guy for the foreseeable future. You know, with Derek Anderson retiring, it really has become Matt Barkley being the mentor there. So I think in addition to that role, though, having two young quarterbacks in Josh Allen and Tyree Jackson, that responsibility of kind of being the mentor, as Jeremy said, he's played extremely well in the preseason. And granted, he's going up against lesser competition in some of the backup defenders he's facing. But, you know, obviously we all remember his game versus the Jets last year, and whether you want to argue that the Jets just didn't show up that week or not, I mean, he hung a ton of points on them in a game that counted and got the Bills the win. So, you know, I think Barkley's really in a unique position here. I think that, you know, there was talk when the Bills drafted Tyree Jackson that he was going to kind of hopefully be the long-term solution as the backup quarterback behind Josh Allen, being a similar kind of body type and skill set, and kind of just, you know, being so young that the two of them could kind of hopefully be around for a long time in Buffalo. And I, you know, I know a lot of people sometimes make, you know, the Jim Kelly, Frank Reich comparison, that, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a really good backup quarterback. But, you know, I think that for now, at least, obviously, as Jeremy mentioned, Tyree struggled tonight. And, you know, who knows exactly what's going to happen with him, if he's going to end up on the practice squad, or if, you know, at this point, if he's just going to be cut out, right? I don't think there's any chance at this point he makes it on the active roster. So at least for the foreseeable future, it's good to have Matt Barkley here. And then, you know, I think that that's something that Josh Allen probably values a lot too, just having a guy he can trust. And that, you know, we saw Josh Allen go down with an injury last year. He's a physical player. And I think that even if they try to kind of scale back him running with the ball, at the same time, there's a risk for injury there. So I think the Bills like having Matt Barkley there as well. And to Jeremy's other point about Duke Williams, I think as well, that's a guy that hasn't been mentioned a ton, I think, since kind of training camp started. I know going into training camp, he was like the fan favorite at wide receiver. Everyone talked about Duke Williams, and Bills fans were so fired up when they got him as, you know, the leading receiver from the CFL. And, you know, you'd think that they were getting, you know, pardon the comparison, but Antonio Brown, basically, like they were getting this guy who was going to be a Pro Bowl receiver. And then kind of things got started and he kind of fell out of favor a bit just because he hasn't really done much. And I think early on in training camp, when there wasn't a lot of physicality and they're not really tackling, that's not, you know, Duke Williams' game. He's a big physical receiver. So I think the preseason games are really his time to shine. And tonight he certainly did that with that touchdown catch. I thought was, you know, a great play that he adjusted and took the ball away. And that's exactly what they would utilize him for. So I still think that it's going to be interesting to see what the Bills do at the end of the wide receiver depth chart. I think that, you know, we all assume they're going to probably keep six, but there's a chance they keep seven. And it seems like that final one or two spots are going to be between Isaiah McKenzie, Ray-Ray McCloud. Duke Williams now has put his name kind of in the mix. And then I think two of the kind of outside guys still are a guy like Cam Phillips and Nick Easley. I think that's another guy that obviously Brian Daboll mentioned this week, is don't forget about him. And he's had a nice preseason and training camp a bit. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, Easley probably is more likely to end up on the practice squad. But I still think it's going to be interesting to kind of see how that all shakes out, you know, as we wrap up the preseason here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's good for Buffalo to have that kind of depth as well. You know, we're wondering who's going to, for years, it's always been, oh, who's going to be the, you know, wide receivers 1 through 3. And now there's a lot of potential at that bottom, you know, that 5, 6 and potentially 7 receiver, which is, you know, it's very reassuring. I also wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about, I mean, it was a long distance field goal miss, but are there any concerns about Steven Hauschka at this time? Jeremy, let's go to you.
No.
No?
I mean, I could elaborate a little bit more than just a one word answer. No, I don't think so. I mean, it was a long kick, and I'm not going to put too much stock into preseason. I mean, if this starts happening on a regular occurrence, you know, in the regular season, yeah, but he's a veteran. I don't know, you know, if if you want to replace him with who they have in McLaughlin. I mean, he made a kick late tonight, but I mean, it just barely squeaked in the upright, and that was a chip shot. So, you know, I think the Bills are just kind of are where they are with him being Hauschka. So you just hope that he can get it right, and hope that, you know, his just veteran kind of past and his experience will get him out of this little funk. But I mean, you know, kickers are going to miss some, so I'm not all that worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just in terms of my perspective on it, to a degree, I agree with Jeremy. I think that you kind of have to let things shake out. But at the same time, I mean, we saw what happened to Hauschka last year with the injury, and he was never quite himself coming back from that. So I guess my only concern is that there's still something lingering, whether if he's fine, 100% fine physically, that's one thing. But we know when it comes to kicking, a big portion of it, if you ask any kicker, it's a big mental game. So I think for him, you know, he's been automatic so much of his career. Obviously, he was, you know, coined Hausch money for a reason. And I think that last year at the end of the year was really the first time in his career that he really struggled a bit. So I think maybe some of it is just trying to shake it off and get his confidence back. And then, you know, once he missed last week, maybe it's starting to kind of creep into his mind, well, maybe I'm not going to ever get back to what I was, you know, where I was before. So I don't know if I'm worried about him physically so much as I am just, you know, mentally him being able to have the confidence to get back. But I think until it becomes kind of a repetitive problem and we get into the regular season, I think that, you know, I don't want to say kickers are a commodity, because obviously if you have a good kicker, it can be a big difference maker for your team. But I don't think they need to go in, you know, and cut him ahead of time with the concern that, well, we got to go find a guy right away. I think that if it comes down to needing to move on from him, they'll have options in the regular season. So, you know, I think that they'll be full go going into the season, and hopefully from there he can kind of, you know, get his confidence back.
Well, that was a good point, Brad, because it could be that the physical ailment he was dealing with in the injury last year kind of transitioned into his mental thinking kind of going forward. So I like the fact that you kind of, I guess, made that, you know, distinction there. But I think they could be maybe tied together, right? So maybe he's worried about getting hurt again, or that injury is still lingering to like a much lesser degree, and he's just not planning the same, or, you know, maybe he's just his body has not fully kind of just recovered and aligned itself back to where he was pre-injury. And that's kind of messing with his, you know, guys protecting themselves or not doing everything that they would do, you know, pre-injury. So not only is he missing a couple of kicks, and that could just get to you mentally, but I think also just the subconscious of not wanting to re-injure yourself could be another mental aspect of it.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree with, you know, both of you guys' points. There's a lot. I don't think a lot of people realize how much pressure has been on kickers. We've seen kickers choke at the worst possible times, and I mean, how, like you said, Hauschka's been dealing with probably a bit of a psychological effect from last year's injury, in overcoming it. But yeah, I agree. You know, can't stress about it too much now. I see a lot on the on the Twitter, people losing their mind about Hauschka missing a kick. And, you know, I think it's a little too early to judge, but I do see it way too often. Brad, who shined for you the most tonight? If you had like a top three guys, maybe somebody who surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of surprised me, you know, I'm still, and we all know how fellow Bills Wire contributor Kyle feels about Daryl Johnson, but he's a guy that, you know, continues to really impress me. And I think that, you know, I hope the Bills give him an opportunity to kind of play up. And Jeremy might even made that point earlier too, just to in our group chat there, but someone did at least. But just basically that, you know, he deserves an opportunity to face some stiffer competition to see, is this legit, or is it because he's going against third and fourth string kind of, you know, guys on the offensive side there. So I just think that if he can continue, he just seems like he's disrupting so much on the offensive side of the ball. And he's so big. If you see him, you know, in any pictures or videos standing next to other guys, it seems like he's grown 3 feet since he graduated and was drafted, let alone. So I don't know what's going on over there, but he just seems like he's really coming into his own as a seventh round draft pick. So he was a guy that surprised me again tonight. He was, you know, disrupting plays. We already talked about Tommy Sweeney. I think he's a guy that's had a nice night. But we have to just talk really quickly about Christian Wade, because this guy has just been like unbelievable since his, obviously, the touchdown last week that received so much notoriety. But tonight's run was almost better in the sense that, you know, it was a catch this time. But the physicality he's able to show, just he stops the way he stops, and he's so low to the ground and it because of his size, but he's so solid and he's so strong that just the way he's able to cut through defenders and make guys miss essentially. And then he has that second level speed where he can just take off. I just, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of gone from just being a nice story to maybe this guy can actually do something. And I still think he's probably going to end up on the practice squad this season is the most likely place for him while he still kind of learns the game of American football, since we have to remember this is his second game ever playing football. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's a guy down the road that could really turn into something special. Even if you think about his ability, even on special teams as a returner or something like that, I think eventually down the road, that could be something he's kind of utilized in. But just a really cool story continues to be. But, you know, I thought after that one touchdown run last week, I was like, okay, well, we're not going to really see anything like that again. Maybe he'll have a couple nice plays, but it's not going to be anything like that. And then the minute I saw it, I was like, he's going to score. Like he's going to score again. And then, you know, he went down right before the end zone there. But, you know, apparently on the TV broadcast, they said Trey White was yelling once they lined back up after, like, give it to my boy, give it to my boy. Like the whole team just wants him to score now at this point. So just a cool story there that I think stood out to me again tonight.
Yeah, it's a good sign to show that the team is, you know, has that togetherness, I think, is most important. The chemistry is there. Everybody's getting along. They're all very, very supportive of each other, as you would hope from a pro sports team. But it's really good to see how supportive they are. And yeah, Christian Wade does have, like, he has, like, very good awareness. He has this ability, like, just stop and go kind of on the run when he duked out those two defenders. Which is very impressive. I mean, I'm not going to say, well, I mean, like a guy like Le'Veon Bell has that ability to do that at the line. But I'm not going to go that far as to say he's that talented. But it is good to show that he has that kind of awareness. And like you said, it's only his second American football game. Jeremy, got anything to add to that?
I mean, yeah, he's been fun to watch for sure. I know you asked Brad maybe who kind of stood out to you. I mean, I want to bring up a player that doesn't get talked about a lot, and I think really is going to have a very critical role in this team, and that's the guy who starts opposite of Trey White, and that's Levi Wallace. And I think Brad even tweeted about it during the game tonight, you know, kind of showing why he's probably going to start opposite of Trey White. He had a nice breakup tonight, and, you know, for a guy that went undrafted last year out of Alabama, he's just been a nice find for the Bills. And, you know, Kevin Johnson tonight with the pick six was nice. So you have some good depth there. But I just think Levi Wallace has been such a great, obviously, player for the Bills these last two seasons, getting a lot of action last year. And I think really supplanting his spot this year, and really hasn't given that up. And, you know, going stride for stride with Torrey Smith and jumping up and making that play tonight was big. And I just want to, like, throw that out there because, you know, everyone talks about Trey White, probably because he's got a huge personality and, you know, really, you know, interacts with the fans a lot and just a little bit more showy, I think. And, you know, the safeties duo gets a lot of publicity, as they should. You know, they're really good. But if Levi Wallace can turn out to be a stud on the other side, that's just going to be huge for this defense and offer them a lot of flexibility. And I just wanted to point out that I thought he had a really good night too.
Yes. Yes, he definitely did. I'm glad you brought up the Kevin Johnson to pick six. That was a treat. Yeah, the defense all night was just impressive from top to bottom, just disrupting. Ed Oliver was another one who really, you know, was fun. We kind of expect him to be as good as he is, I would think, at this point. But, I mean, he's taking on two offensive linemen at a time. And just yeah, overall, just very thrilled with the defense right now. Happy with the offense, you know, offense's performance tonight. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do in that respect. But yeah.
I don't know. I think this defense has potential to be top three in a lot of categories this year. I mean, they look great. I don't know where there's a weak spot. They might give up like a deep ball every once in a while, but last year they didn't do that. Led the league in the fewest, you know, deep passes allowed. So I don't know. I don't know where there's a hole in this defense, which is really awesome. I mean, you can't really ask for much more than that. I think, yeah, overall tonight, guys, I don't know how you feel, but you have to walk out of Charlotte tonight feeling pretty good if you're the Bills coaching staff overall. I don't know how you can't.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, too, something interesting is we've talked about the defense for a while, and no one's even brought up Tremaine Edmonds. So that's, I mean, like the right. You know, the captain of the defense here is a 21-year-old monster that's just, you know, just in terms of his size, let alone his ability. And I just think, you know, Luke Kuechly this week had some really great comments about him, just how he thinks Edmonds is like the prototypical linebacker in Sean McDermott's defense. And he would know, having played in Sean McDermott's defense. So, you know, and a guy like Matt Milano's there, and they just have even, you know, even the linebackers are, and Lorenzo Alexander is still hopefully going to play at a high level. And just the fact that, you know, as you said, it's such a complete defense at this point. And then you introduce Ed Oliver to that defensive line, which, as he showed tonight, fighting through those double teams. And we just got done talking about the depth at defensive end now. And Trent Murphy's looking like he can stay healthy. He's going to be a force on the opposite side of Jerry Hughes. So, you know, it's just one of those things where if the offense can just be average, and I hate to say that because that's not at all what anyone wants. And we obviously want Josh Allen to take the next step, and we want the wide receivers to perform that they brought in, and you want the running backs to be better. All that's a given. You know, clearly they want the offense to be good, but as long as the offense can do more than it did last year and they can start taking steps forward, their defense should be so good that they really shouldn't have a problem staying in games and giving Josh and the offense an opportunity to, you know, win them. So, yeah, as you said, Jeremy, it's really hard to find a weakness in the defense. And I think really injuries are always kind of the great equalizer in sports. So, you know, if they start getting really banged up on the defensive side, it does seem like they have some good depth at different positions, even at the safety position. I mean, you know, they bring in a guy like Kurt Coleman, who has looked like he's played really well and kind of slides right into having been, you know, played with Sean McDermott. Obviously, EJ Gaines gets hurt, and they bring in Captain Motherland, who played with McDermott before. So they're like filling holes already with guys that are pretty good players coming in and kind of just stepping in and filling that void. So if they can do that throughout the season as well, if there are, you know, any injuries, yeah, their defense, sky's the limit for what they have going on over there.
Yes. You know, Carolina's offense, they didn't even really get going until those third string, you know, people were in there. The third string Bills defense was really in there. So, which was, you know, that's a good sign for Buffalo's defense as a whole. The depth thing is super important. We've seen the injury bug. It's been going around quite a bit, and to have those guys step up, be able to make plays, I think it goes a long way. This is going to be I still think it's going to be a defensive minded team going into the season.
Definitely. I think, they're definitely poised to do some good things on the defensive side of the ball. There's no doubt about it. What'd you all think of the punting battle tonight?
Yeah. I think that's honestly, though, they didn't punt the whole first half. So it's gotta be tough when you're trying to evaluate the punters and you have a half of no punting. But Corey Carter, I think going into the game had the slight advantage, but I think Bohorquez was overall probably punted a little better tonight. So you know, that's one thing I think that, you know, it's kind of a running joke and we all laugh about it, but, you know, I think it can be important. So they're going to have to, figure that out too, as the preseason goes along.
I wonder if like the last preseason game, which nobody watches anyway, because, well, it's the fourth preseason game, right? You're not having any of the starters play, nobody watches, but not that you're going to purposely not try to get first downs, but I think that's going to be the game where this could be decided. You're going to have Josh Allen play probably well into the third quarter. And by doing that, if he plays well, you know, you hope they don't punt a whole lot, and they're going to want to evaluate these guys. So it might just come down to the fourth preseason game and we'll just see like a dozen punts.
Hopefully not, but
I know that would just, I mean, the fourth preseason game's already terrible. It can't make it any worse with purposely trying to like, I could just see Matt Barkley just taking the snap and going down at like third and three and just taking a knee or something so they can evaluate punters. I don't know. It'll be interesting, but you're right. They didn't punt at all really in the first half. It was a lot of the second half stuff. And I agree with you, Brad, for really analyzing it. I thought Jorquez had a little bit better of a night, but at the same time, it was pretty kind of even. I think Jorquez's last punt that he had was kind of eh. So I don't really know how much you could take from this game in the punting battle, to be honest.
Jeremy, any closing statements at all? Thoughts heading into next week? Anything like that?
Are we going to talk about punting more or no?
I mean, we got time, if you really wanted to elaborate on it.
No, I'm good. I'm good with that. I don't know. It just seems like one of those things where we talked about this before. Who's going to hold for, you know, because whoever's the punter is going to be the holder for, and maybe that's like one of the things that Hauschka's struggling with is who's holding for him. So I don't know. It's part of the special teams unit that you really want to make sure you have solid and nailed down, because, you know, games are tight in the NFL. So you want to make sure you can, in those pressured moments, be ready for them. But, no, I'm going to say I am done talking about this game tonight. They didn't get any injuries. Allen looked pretty good, if not near really good. And the defense is just on par with where they picked up last week and on pace for a really good season. So knock on wood that they escape next week without any injuries and just continue to ascend.
Absolutely. Brad, how about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I think that typically the third preseason game is the dress rehearsal for the regular season. So I think, you know, as Jeremy already had mentioned, the fourth preseason game is usually pretty brutal, even for preseason game standard, just because at that point, virtually no starters are playing and you're kind of just, if anything, you're using it to evaluate the very end of the roster. But yeah, I think just in terms of final thoughts, I'm looking forward to seeing Josh Allen play a little longer than just one quarter and see if they can kind of sustain the success they've seen on offense. And same thing on the defensive side of the ball. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing Ed Oliver and some of these guys get the opportunity to go versus the ones a little longer. The thing though that I think the most important, aside from Josh's chemistry with his wide receivers, and that goes back to even with John Brown. I mean, John Brown didn't play tonight. So I think that it's important that they get their reps, because obviously him and Cole Beasley are on the same page. But I think he has to keep developing that chemistry with all his wide receivers. But I think the offensive line is just something that's going to be important to continue to monitor. As I said earlier, McDermott wanted to have the line figured out going into Detroit. But it's been tough with Morse not playing in any of the games so far. And now Nasecki being out with what they said was he tweaked his knee. They don't think it's serious. So hopefully he's able to come back next week and they can kind of flush that out. I think, because most importantly, honestly, is out of all the variables with the offensive line, I think the one it impacts the most is Cody Ford. Cause you know, is he going to be a guard or is he going to be a tackle? And I think that comes down to, well, who's going to be the other tackle? Is Nasecki going to be in there? And you know, what's going to happen with Feliciano once Morse comes back. So you know, I think that's something I'll definitely be watching for next week. And lastly is just the wide receiver battle. It's just, to me, that's still You know, who would have thought going into the preseason I'd be so focused on the sixth or seventh wide receiver? But I just think it's kind of intriguing just to figure out what they want to do there, what kind of wide receiver they want there. You know, do they want to diversify their portfolio essentially and have a big wide receiver in Duke Williams and a smaller, shiftier guy like a McKenzie or a McLeod? So, you know, that's something I'll be keeping an eye on going forward as well.
Yeah, I think really for me, I'm set on defense. I'm comfortable with Josh Allen after some of the things I've seen tonight. I think the running game could use a little bit of help, and that really comes from the offensive line. And, you know, again, like you said, Brad, Mitch Morse not being there is a huge, you know, detriment. The offensive line still really isn't where we need it to be, unfortunately. But, you know, hopefully by next week we get to kind of figure, you know, who it's going to be going forward. And who knows how much longer Morse has in concussion protocol. I'm not sure what the duration of that is or how serious his concussion is. But, you know, that was something I really wanted to see this preseason is him leading, generaling that offensive line. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten to see that. But yeah, next week, Bills and Detroit should be interesting. They played each other last year, and Bills hemmed them up pretty good. So we'll see the progress on that first team. But Brad, Jeremy, I wanted to thank you very much for joining me this evening. For this episode, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And it was fun to jump on, and I'm sure we'll be doing this regularly throughout the season. So, looking forward to talking football with you guys.
Yeah, looking forward to recapping these games, even starting now in the preseason. Two more things. One, I want Josh Allen to complete a deep ball next week. He's completed a lot of short underneath routes, which is good in his progress, but would love to see that. And then Darius Slay, a really good corner for the Lions. So I think it's going to be a good test. They've got Trey Flowers that they signed. So just a quick little glimpse into next week. I think it's going to be a pretty good test with Matt Patricia at the helm. Really looking forward to seeing how the offense does. So yeah, looking forward to that and looking forward to the rest of the season and recapping these games with you guys.
Absolutely, guys. It's been a pleasure. You know, listeners, just follow Bills Wire on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Everybody's always posting articles. We have a lot of content for you. Always, the team works very hard to put out content. So please, please, please follow them on social media. But that does it for us. On behalf of Jeremy, Brad, and I, thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next week right here on the Bills Wire podcast.